spontaneous human combustion. How in the heck did you begin to interview and investigate people on that?
Well, that's one of the really gruesome paranormal mysteries. And when I started looking into that, I had no idea what the cause was. I mean, one is, of course, naturally skeptical that the body is somehow going to spontaneously ignite. The body's mostly water, and there's really no known mechanism by which the body could do that.
Unless somebody's doused it with gasoline and tossed a match on him.
Right. And generally when people do that, you get external burning, and the gasoline burns off, and the body's burned on the outside.
Charred.
And yeah, you don't. What you have with a typical, maybe I ought to mention a particular case. Well, let's take, say, the case of Mary Reeser in 1951, St. Petersburg, Florida.
One of the first cases, or has this been around a long time?
This is around a long time, but the phenomenon, of course, goes back. There was a Countess Bandy in the 18th century. A number of cases that Charles Dickens wrote about a century before the case I'm mentioning.
Okay.
Charles Dickens, you know, used spontaneous human combustion in his novel Bleak House, and took some flack from scientists of the day for suggesting such a thing. But Dickens, and this is typical of the kind of debate we would have today. Here was his friend, the scientist Lewis, and Dickens arguing, and Lewis was saying, "Well, this is ridiculous. The body can't spontaneously combust. I don't know what cases you think you've got, but it can't happen." And Dickens was saying, "Well, I don't know what the explanation is. I don't know what you call it, but we have cases." You see, so one was arguing from effect, one's arguing from causality, and they were ships passing in the night. They just kept arguing, and you could see that they weren't going to ever get together on this. And what I did was to look into this phenomenon with a forensic expert, and we decided to look at cause and effect. Isn't that a radical idea?
Yeah, sure.
Let's look at the whole thing. And we looked at 30 historical cases. And one of these, 1951, St. Petersburg, Mary Reeser. This is a fairly typical case. It's an important case in the literature. It's really a major case in the American discussion of this. And this was a large woman, and she was found in her apartment, her body thoroughly destroyed along with a chair that she had sat in. The body was very thoroughly destroyed, the bones calcined, there were bits of vertebra found, allegedly her shrunken skull, and a slippered foot. And, you know, much of the rest was reduced to, you know, to indistinguishable charred rubble from the chair.
No question, she burned somehow.
She burned. And any way you look at it, this apartment was not relatively undamaged. That is,
except in the area where she was.
Right. And there was some smoke damage and so forth, but the apartment was pretty much pristine. Now, clearly this is a mystery. This was a mystery to me. I didn't have the answer. I didn't think it seemed likely that she spontaneously combusted, so I proceeded to look further. It turns out that, I'll give you some facts and maybe you can see where this is going. When last seen by her son, who was a doctor, Mrs. Reeser was sitting in this big stuffed chair. Think of that as sort of fuel source.
Mm-hmm.
She was wearing flammable nightclothes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? She's smoking a cigarette.
There we go.
Okay? You need some more facts? She had taken 2 Secanol sleeping tablets and told her son that she intended to take 2 more Secanol sleeping tablets because she was really, really, really having trouble sleeping. Now, this sounds like, it sounded to me like, I don't, you tell me if it doesn't sound to you like, an accident waiting to happen. Now,
she falls asleep, the cigarette falls into the chair,
yes.
Poof, or maybe on her flammable outfit.
Right.
And off
now,
she goes.
So far, so good. But, of course, people will very quickly, particularly people on the other side who are postulating that there's a, you know, a mystery and that maybe something that's unknown to science, and fair enough, let's hear them on it. They're going to tell you right away that, yes, but she didn't suffer the kind of superficial exterior charring and burning that smoking victims usually suffer. This was something that destroyed her body about as much almost as a crematorium would. How do you get that happening?
Yeah,
and this chair would have smoldered. It wasn't very, very flammable, and so on. Well, here's what we thought happened. And we took some flack for it at the time. There's now new evidence in the case. It appears that Mrs. Reeser, who was a plump woman, it appears that her own body fat, now there was a description of a greasy stain on the floor.
Oh, my God.
Now, this gets a little gruesome, so hold on. There's something that was postulated in forensic science as a sort of just a hypothesis, not a proven scientific fact, but something called the wick effect. And it works like this. You have a candle, and you light the wick of the candle, and it burns. The wick isn't doing much burning. In fact, if the wick's burning, something's not adjusted
right.
with your Coleman stove or your candle or anything using a wick. The wick is just the conduit, so that something liquid is being drawn up in the wick, and then it's gasifying and burning off. And so, if you think of the human body as a sort of inside-out candle, that is, there's all this fat, which is just as flammable as catching a skillet full of bacon grease on fire. Everybody knows how real flammable that is. You have body fat, which will burn. And it's wrapped in clothing, or there's like the stuffed chair under it, something to absorb this melted body fat as it burns. And that fuels more fire to destroy more of the body, to release more body fat, to fuel more of the fire. So you have this, in a sense, you have the body providing not only the fuel for its own destruction, but it's doing this over and over, burning over and over and over and over.
Okay, but I'll give you this case, but what about some of the others worldwide where people have just...
Well, we looked at case after case. We looked at the famous case of Dr. J. Irving Bentley, Cattersport, Pennsylvania. And he was a lean man, and probably the wick effect was not much in effect there. Even lean people have fat in their midriff, especially in thighs and even in the bones.
Was he smoking?
Well, here's what we know about Dr. Bentley. He was about 92 years old. He smoked a pipe. He had a bad habit of dozing off and letting the ashes from his pipe fall on his clothes. His clothing in his closet was pockmarked with burns from previous encounters. He kept in his bathrobe or his robe pockets these big barn burner type matches that his nurse should never have allowed him to do. And he was alone when this accident happened. We know that the fire started in another room. He made his way pitifully and hurriedly, knowing he woke up obviously in some trouble, I think, from another encounter, made his way with his aluminum walker into the bathroom, tried frantically to put the fire out because there was his robe in the bathtub and a broken pitcher in the toilet bowl where he had desperately tried to get water to put out the fire. I think he collapsed, may have had a heart attack or whatever. I hope he died suddenly. And probably in this case, probably not the wick effect so much, but underneath his body was apparently flammable linoleum. And under that, of course, a wood floor, and under that subflooring, and under that wooden beam.
Wrong place, wrong time.
And it burned a hole in the floor, and we think that something called the chimney effect, where a draft is drawn up by the fire and fuels the fire, worked there.